Welcome back to the Corona Chronicles. We are still in Revelation chapter 19. We've had the hallelujahs, and we've seen the invitation to the wedding of the Lamb. And now we're going to see the Lord Jesus on a white horse. So read with me from verse 11 of chapter 19. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Well, we've been seeing in Revelation 19, we had all of these things, I heard, and the hallelujahs, and we saw the wedding, we were at the wedding of the Lamb, really. And now we're sort of focused on the Lamb, really, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus himself. So it's I heard, and in verse 11, I saw. In a sense, we're in a new section again. There's a whole load of stuff about the name here, really. I mean, there's enough here to keep us going, isn't there?
Yeah.
About the names of this one who comes out on a white horse, who's called Faithful and True, and he brings justice and judges and wages war and all of that. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And he's wearing this robe that's dipped in blood. And we've had sort of this picture in verse 8 of the chapter where God's people, those who have sort of followed and given their lives for the Lamb, are given fine linen, bright and clean, for them to wear. So it's, we see God's people clothed, given a sort of a robe of righteousness, a clean white robe, and then here we see Jesus and his robe's been dipped in blood, sort of a reminder of the cross and the blood that he has shed. So even though he's coming in judgment and with sort of fire in his eyes, there's this permanent reminder of his grace and his sacrifice for his people in order to robe us in white.
And I mean, that is the cross, isn't it? The cross is both the place of judgment and the place of forgiveness and salvation, isn't it? Because he takes the wrath of God, doesn't he? So he's this one that takes the judgment for the sins of the world.
Yeah.
Hence his robes are dipped in blood.
Yeah.
But he's also the one that if you will not go there for salvation and forgiveness, then he is the one that will, you know, bring the judgment upon you.
Yeah.
So it's either on you or on him.
Yeah. It's quite an extraordinary picture in verse 15 where we see he treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. I mean, he is both the one who treads and he's the one who's been trodden.
Yeah.
So there's that picture of him doing it. He is righteous and good, and yet he is the very one who, in order to save us from it, was the one being trampled.
Yeah.
Quite a picture, isn't it?
So let's look at his names then. So he's this fiery figure, eyes are blazing, head with many crowns, and then we're told he has a name written on him that no one knows but himself.
Yeah.
But then you've got that. There's this name we don't know, and then it goes on and it says in verse 13 that his name is the Word of God.
Okay.
So that seems to be a bit of a contradiction.
Yeah.
And then we go on. We see that verse 16, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written on, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yeah.
So he's Word of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, but we don't know his name.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Well, I think it ties in quite nicely with the evening services that we're running at the moment, doesn't it? Because we're looking, it's difficult to encapsulate God in one particular way. In order to kind of fully understand God, and this is the way he's revealed himself, he's had to reveal himself to us almost from different lenses, hasn't he? So we can't understand God sort of just like that. We need to sort of observe this part of him, and we need to look at it from that side. And it seems like a little bit like that's what's going on here. But then after all of that, after we've done all of that gazing, there's still a name that we don't know.
Yeah.
There's still a part of God that is almost not unknowable, but it's too great and big for us to, at least in this world, to know.
Yes, there is definitely, he's bigger than even the phenomenal names that he is.
Yes.
So he's the Word of God. He's speaking the very mind of God to us. Mm. He's the King over every king in the universe, and he's the Lord of Lords. He's God himself.
Yeah.
And yet there's some mystery to him. Mm. You can't just name him and claim him.
Yes.
You can't just categorize him like the theologians do and say there's a systematic thinking of God over here.
Yes.
That he is these names. He reveals himself so that we can know him, but he's greater than everything that we can pretend to know.
Yeah, and that's such a great picture, isn't it? Because you think about heaven, some people think heaven's really boring. They're like, well, why would you want to be in heaven worshipping God forever? This sounds like endless singing. That's an endless hymn that never ends. Sounds awful. But this kind of speaks to part of God's nature, which is so great and glorious that even though we know all of these names of God, we still have barely scratched the surface of sort of who he is.
Yeah.
That heaven will be an eternal getting to know God more intimately and more deeply.
Yes, it's like the end of the Narnia stories of Lewis, isn't he? He's so clever on these things, isn't he? That, you know, right at the end of whatever it is, seven books or however, you know, the last chapter is it's
Further in, further up.
Yeah, further in and further up. But the last chapter is, as they go into the new creation, it's like this is the... This is the beginning of the end.
Everything, their whole life was but the first chapter or something of the greater story.
And that's what we've got. So he's always King of Kings. He's always Lord of Lords. He's always the Word of God.
Mm.
But we're growing in understanding that this name is bigger and greater and grander and more beautiful. And as we go in and further up, we discover that we're only at the beginning here.
Yeah.
The very beginning, not even at the end of the beginning, you know. It's fantastic. Yeah. So here is Jesus then, this great one, and he comes back, and how do we see him? How do we view him? As just a little baby that we come to Christmas services, or this great one that holds the judgments of God in his hand, and what we do with him depends on our eternity depends on.
Mm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So perhaps we should leave it there and come back tomorrow.
Mm.